You. Thank you very much, Pastor Aaron. It's wonderful to see the children do the Christmas performance, isn't it? It's beautiful. It's like the love which Pastor Aaron showed us just now. So united. If you look at them, the teachers are directing. All the actions that you see are all directed by the teachers. And then they've got the kids on the keyboard, the kids as soloists today. So many soloists there. And then you've got the drama people and the sheep and... It's amazing. It's such a unity of the saints in the church. Yesterday, we were at caroling at Kingsway Shopping Centre, and there was this, we were singing, like we were singing. There was this lady with a pram having a toddler in there. I think the toddler probably has a little bit of a special needs, but the boy was there, looks really quite dispirited, like, you know, quiet. And then the singing continued. We had the carols, the singing continued. And then finally, the mother just took off the belt, the safety belt of the boy, and just let the boy go free, you know. And the boy just came to the front where we were singing and was singing with us. And then out of the depth of his soul, you know, you can see it, you know. I'm a counselor, so I can see depth of soul when it's being expressed. Out of the depth of the soul, he just let out a rapturous delight of Merry Christmas like that. I was so touched. We were there to touch people, but I was so touched by the children. Children has a way of delighting us, and we need to raise them up in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Amen. My voice is not peak today. In other words, you will hear a lot of roughness in it because I'm recovering from a lost voice. But today, I will not give you my best voice, but I'll give you my all. Amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Dear Lord, you not only give us your all, you give us your best. And Lord Jesus, today we are so thankful that in the month of December we can celebrate the goodness of God upon earth, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You give the best, your Son, Father. You give the best and you give your all so that all of earth will receive your blessing. So today, even as we consider Matthew 26, there is so much of richness in there that you want to give to us. Today, let your word be anchored in our hearts, be rooted in our hearts, dear Lord, to bring glory and fruit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oops. Matthew 26. If you have been reading Matthew 26, you will really enjoy the sermon because today I won't be reading the whole of Matthew 26. I'll take bits and pieces out of Matthew 26 and you track along, all right? It was pitch dark in the olive grove. The dry, woody aroma of the olive trees wafted through the air. Usually, they will have an olive oil press in that olive grove. And it was already after hours, and workers in the olive oil press would have already gone home. The whole olive grove was as quiet as a graveyard. But there was a shadow of a lone figure on his knees, and three people were lying down a distance away from this lone figure. These words that were spoken as in a form of a prayer shattered the whole silence of this olive grove. In Matthew 26:38, it says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." It is the dark night of the soul for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Church, if you are going through the dark night of your soul, you're actually going through an extremely difficult or a painful period of your life when things probably reach their lowest point. Of course, it is not preferable for us to experience the dark night of the soul, and I wish that no one here and no one on earth will experience the dark night of the soul. But life is imperfect on earth, and you realize that, huh? You just ate yesterday and you're hungry today. Oh, I can tell that, of course. Because life is not perfect. You ate and you are still hungry. You drink and you are still thirsty. Life is not perfect. And sometimes it is inevitable to go through the experience of the dark night of the soul when it's a painful period, an extremely difficult period for you. I want to let you know, and I'm going to tell you, having been through tough times, that tough times don't last, but tough people do. Tough people last. Tough times don't last. And I want to say that you are tough only because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has been through tough times himself. And he has come out victorious. He has walked the journey of the dark night of the soul before. And we are not alone, because God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows the journey of the dark night of the soul, will help you through every moment. It is very human to feel deep emotions. You hit me and I feel pain. You tickle me and I feel the itch. It's so human to feel emotions. It's so human to feel deep emotions when you're going through the valley. But like the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the power not to let that emotion weaken you to the point where you are not functional. You will not let that emotion weaken you until you lose the joy of your salvation. This morning, as you look at the stage, there are many people who are going through tough times. I won't say many people. I didn't check with every one of them. There'll be some people who would have gone through tough times, but I see the joy of their salvation. And that is because the Lord Jesus Christ is in them. So it is good not to let the internal script of your fear or your sorrow or your anxiety override the faith that you have, because Jesus overcame the flesh, and we can also overcome the flesh. We can overcome emotions that are really overwhelming because Jesus showed us how. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. And you are tough because the Lord Jesus Christ has been through the toughest journey on earth, and he will help you. I've got good news for you. The Garden of Gethsemane is not a forever place. Whew. The Garden of Gethsemane is not a forever place. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane for an hour or an hour plus, and he left it when he was satisfied by his Father in prayer under the olive tree. When we were in Israel, we actually saw the olive tree where the tour guide said that's the genuine olive tree that Jesus prayed under, because olive trees last forever, you know. And that was that olive tree. Jesus was satisfied by his Father in prayer under the olive tree, and he left the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane, the dark night of the soul, is not to last forever. You don't have to be in the valley the whole time, even though you may be thrown into the valley. You don't have to be in the valley your whole life, even though you are experiencing the valley experience. With the help of God, you just need to exit. With the help of God, you need to exit. Amen. I was talking with an elderly man. I was in a silent retreat many years ago. And we happened to be retreat members, and we sat together and we talked. Very elderly man. He was talking about his experiences in the past involving his parents. And in the conversation, I thought his parents were still living. I was trying to figure out his age. And then I said, okay, plus another 30 years, how old would the parents be? And then I was thinking, ooh, that would be quite an old age, you know. But the way he talked about it, the experiences he was relating to me was so awake and so alive and so real, as though it was still happening and the parents were still alive. Actually, the parents died 30 years ago. We need to exit from an unpleasant memory. And I'm not saying this is going to be relying on your strength. It's really by the help of God. We need to exit from an unpleasant memory of an event so that you can live better now, so that you won't lose your joy of salvation as a new creation. Otherwise, you will always be preoccupied with the past. When God shows you new and glorious things, you will not be able to enjoy them because your appetite has already been satisfied by old stuff. You cannot enjoy the new things. You need to exit. Standing tall in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus looked at the three disciples who were lying a distance away from him, who were exhausted, who were sleeping. And Jesus roused them from their slumber and said to them, look, and that's found in Matthew 26:45. Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Jesus boldly faced his hour. And he says in Matthew 26:46, he says, rise, let us go. Jesus was made ready in prayer in Gethsemane to do his Father's will. He was flopping and falling to the ground at the start. I saw just now the Mary flopping to the ground so gracefully, huh? And the wise men coming to give their gifts, and they were flopping to the ground so worshipfully. And I believe when Jesus flopped onto the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was an act of worship to the Father, like, Lord, Father, I'm here. I'm ready to do your will. But it could also be his weakened body that is under pressure. You see, when your body is under pressure, you just flop. Just weakened, you know, the whole body. You just don't have the motivation or the energy. I believe that the humanity of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane weakened him to the point where he just fell to the ground at the very start when he went into the garden. But Luke 22:43, and this is not recorded in Matthew, but I give you extra meat from the other scriptures. Luke 22:43 says that an angel from heaven appeared to Jesus and strengthened him. Now Jesus' spirit is willing and his flesh is willing. Jesus is willing to do the will of the Father, and he doesn't need the cup to be taken away. I want to say this to you. We are so fragile and we are so weakened and weak, we really need to have prayer supporters around us. Say amen to that. Don't do this alone. You need to have prayer supporters around you, and you also need to cultivate the personal solitude prayer, the personal prayer life that you can have. Jesus had three of them, and they were Peter and the sons of Zebedee. Preferably, your prayer partners are not the ones like Peter and the two sons of Zebedee who slept through the hour that Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hopefully, you have got prayer supporters that can listen to you and pray for you and empathize with you. But I tell you what, when you are facing the dark night of your soul, knowing that you have any kind of support will help. And it always helps to know that someone is praying for you, because you can then borrow the faith of people who love you and who care for you at the time when you are facing the dark night of your soul. I read from Time magazine, this neuroscience expert says that in his conducting of this experiment, when the subjects knew that they were being prayed for, you don't have to show them the prayer supporters. Just knowing that they have been prayed for actually makes all the difference to the health of the people. Just knowing that you have been prayed for seem to help you cope better. So therefore, I think it is so good as a church, we need to avail ourselves within your means, of course. You know, you have got your busy schedule, you have your limitation, but within your means, avail yourself to support people in prayer or in practical helps. I remember a time when I was in crisis, and this friend of ours, a family friend of ours, came, sat next to me, said nothing. Just held my hand for 10 minutes. And I tell you what, in the middle of that 10 minutes, I actually felt her heartbeat. You know, when you put your hand on the wrist. Have you ever held somebody's hand like that where you feel the heartbeat of the person? Go and experience it. Hold your spouse's hand tonight. Say, darling, let me hold your hand. Let me feel your heart. But I tell you what, when you make yourself available to someone who is in need and you hold their hand, they will be so touched by what you have done. It need not be a dynamic sort of a prayer that you are making. It will just be the simple act of availing yourself. And if it is yourself that is needing the support, if it is yourself that is going through the dark night of the soul, I'd like you to do one thing. You need to request for support specifically. Because sometimes people might not know how to come around you. People might not even also know that you are going through a tough time because you put on a nice face. And so then nobody could tell what is inside of you. So sometimes you may need to be the one to request for the support. And then you initiate the conversation so that you really will be able to get the support that you need. Break the ice. Break the ice, all right? Just break the ice and ask for help specifically. And I believe that prayer support or any kind of practical support is a great resource of mental health. You'll be able to stay well when you're going through tough times. And having said that, sometimes getting the sort of support that you want or wish for may not be possible because some people are not available. And I like you to be able to cultivate your personal solitude prayer life. Because when you are able to do that, you depend on God Himself directly in prayer, and prayer to God will strengthen your resilience. There are so many countless times I can tell you, so weakened, you go into the prayer room and you pray, and you said nothing, you groan, say a few words, came out of there, and God just strengthens you. And then you, in Luke 22, you just heard that an angel actually strengthened the Lord Jesus Christ to face the cross. Do that. I am not able to do this yet, but I encourage you to do it. You know, some things you cannot use, you give it to people, isn't it? And this is a real good thing. You know, it's a great gift. I didn't use it. I haven't used it, but I'm going to give it to you, okay? I've got a friend who would check into a hotel every time on her birthday to talk to God, to hear from God, to let the angel of God strengthen her resilience. Okay, so it's a great gift, huh? All right, use it. Okay, good. See, we are needy people, and God in His grace gives us prayer so that we can access His peace and His serenity. We become healthy when we are prayerful. Amen. Now, this one I want to give tribute to Pastor Aaron because he gave me the flip side when I had the title. The title was The Dark Night of the Soul. And he told me, I told all of us last week or 2 weeks ago about the sky. Can you remember that? He says, when the sky is ebony black. Oh, no, ebony was my word. You said black. Very black. Very dark. When the sky is ebony black, look out for the stars. Some of you are fans of Coldplay. I'm not a fan of Coldplay, but I get to sing one of the songs because of my grandson. And he says, it will be a sky full of stars. Coldplay was here, I think, in Perth. And when they sang, I think some of us heard that. Huh? A free ticket, no need to go anywhere. Just heard some of the songs there. He says, it will be a sky full of stars. When the sky is dark, look out for the stars because the sky is full of stars. I like what Robin said. Robin, you said just now in your worship time, you said, God breathed and all the stars are formed. In the dark night of your soul and you are under the canopy of the stars, God will breathe inspiration and strength when you look at the sky and count your blessings one by one. And there are some stars in our life, and I mean people. And this is one person, Jesus in Matthew 26:10 says, she is the star. She has done a beautiful thing to me. It was the woman with the alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She was the star that shone brightly in Jesus' life just before the crucifixion, because the oil that was poured on Jesus' head was the anointing. Pastor Ian Weaver, 2 weeks ago, talked about the anointing. At prayer meeting last week, Pastor Jim prayed for anointing for you as individuals and pray for anointing for you as a church, for us as a church. The anointing is the spiritual force that releases the full potential to go beyond our ability to do God's will. You say, you can't. Oh, I can. I cannot. I cannot. When I was younger, I said, I cannot speak. That anointing comes on you, it gives you the spiritual force or the spiritual power to release the fullest potential in you to go beyond your natural ability to do God's will. And for Jesus, the anointing came on him to do the will of the Father by going to the cross. And he told the disciples, don't prevent the woman, for the perfume was poured to prepare him for burial. The fragrance of the perfume, because it's so expensive, it's very thick with great flavor and smell, with great aroma. It will linger on the body of Jesus till his death on the cross. And it's to remind him that when all is dark, when all seem abandoned, the aroma of God, like the presence of God, is with him. God the Father loved the Son so much, he provided for the Son's burial in the action of that woman. So that Jesus knew without a doubt that he was the beloved Son. So the advance act of being anointed with expensive perfume and ointment already assured Jesus, even before he died, that he would be taken care of after his death. I tell you what, this is comforting to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, don't prevent this woman from doing her part. What you have done for Jesus, and I know you have done a lot. I've been in the church for so long. You have done so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. What you have done for Jesus will not be forgotten. You may say, but that's a small thing. That's an ordinary thing. An ordinary woman gave her all. An extraordinary give in the alabaster jar to Jesus. It wasn't well received by the disciples. Some of the things you do might not be well received. Some of the things you do may be hidden. Some of the things you do may be criticized. Some of the things you do may be treated with a bit of contempt. Whatever it is, it may not be well received by people. In fact, considered wasteful by the disciples because it could have been sold and given to the poor because it's a really good sum of money you can get from that expensive jar. But Jesus said her story will be told throughout the world in memory of her. Jesus will remember you and remember what you have done for him. The question is, what would Jesus have you done for him and for others? Be open to the voice of God and do it all for Jesus. Because even giving a cup of cold water to a child, Jesus says, you will never lose your reward. The second star that shone very brightly for Jesus was this man called a certain man. No name, nameless, a certain man. This certain man in Matthew 26, 18 allowed Jesus and his disciples to have the Last Supper in his house. It was the house that was available that created the most intimate moments between Jesus and the 12 disciples. And today we just partake of that very intimate moment as well. Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body. Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26, 26 to 29. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus, in that room that was made available by this certain man, declared his unceasing love to his disciples and his reunion with the disciples and all of us in heaven. And it was in that same room by this certain ordinary man that the Holy Spirit visited them on the day of Pentecost. I pray that there is room for Jesus in your house, in your heart, to do his work. Just now the song says, prepare him room. Would there be space for the Lord Jesus Christ if he asked you to be like that certain man in the Bible, to volunteer your possessions, volunteer something in your life because Jesus needed them? Would you be like that certain man, give it all to Jesus? But very unfortunately, it was also in that same room that Jesus struggled with the loyalty of one of his disciples. And you know this, it's Judas Iscariot. Judas, whom Jesus served communion to, was about to deliver him into the hands of the chief priests to be killed. Judas bit the hand that fed him. It was the worst blow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus with a kiss and for 30 pieces of silver. The disciple that shared life with Jesus for 3 long years, had 3 long years of holy communion, sold the Lord Jesus and brought him to his death. We talk about the dark night of the soul. Jesus' heart would have been torn apart by this foreknowledge of what was going to happen. And Jesus recalled the prophecy in Zechariah 13, 7, and all these are in Matthew 26, go read it. He says, he would be the shepherd that was struck and the sheep of his flock would be scattered. And true enough, he was the struck shepherd because you read 66 to 68 of Matthew 26. It says, they spat him in his face, struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? Others cried out, he is worthy of death. Jesus was abused, assaulted, and then arrested. And then with the arrest of Jesus, the disciples were scattered, and Jesus was alone waiting trial. Jesus was isolated to prevent a riot. And then, of course, you get Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, and Jesus knew this before. It would have torn his heart. And Peter, in verses 70 to 74 of Matthew 26, says, I don't know what you're talking about. Someone confronted him and says, I think I know. I've seen you before with Jesus. And Peter says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the man. And then again, he called down curses and he swore to them. He said, I don't know the man. that is heartbreaking for the Lord Jesus, to be betrayed by a friend so close as Peter. It is truly the dark night of the soul. Relationships can be fragile. People can pledge their allegiance and their devotion to you at one time, and then they can revoke their friendship in the next. If you're in that position, Jesus empathizes with you, because Jesus has been through it himself. He has been through betrayal. He's been through denial. He's been through all these fragile relationships around him when they are meant to be the closest to him. Jesus understood. But he was still willing to build relationships with us. And he was still willing to die on the cross for unworthy ones. Kent Kiff, this poet, wrote a very famous poem, and I think you might read it somewhere. It was written in honor of Mother Teresa. And it's a nice poem, and I would like to read to you, but it's so meaningful. It says, people are often unreasonable, illogical, self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. What? Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have. And it may not be enough or never be enough, but give your best anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and your God. It was never between you and them anyway. From God's perspective, the dark night of the soul and the glory of endurance are two sides of the coin. From the test will come the testimony. Jesus was severely tested by the teachers of the law and the high priest, and they really should recognize Jesus as the Messiah, because the scriptures they are meditating on and so religious about are so full of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, if you read Matthew 26:59, these chief priests and the lawmakers were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But Jesus did not crumble under the oppression and the threats of these religious authorities. He declared, and this is very important because this is a peak of what I'm saying today. Matthew 26:64 says, he declared, but I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. This is very important because Jesus saw the glorious picture of himself sitting next to the Father, and he saw himself coming for the bride, that is you, coming for the church on the clouds. Jesus saw the brightness of the future of the church, and it overshadowed the sufferings that he was experiencing at that moment. Robin, today your words have been so powerful. You say, because of the joy of this glory, he endured the cross. Because of the joy of seeing what he could do for you, the abundant life and the eternal life he could do for you, Jesus endured the cross. Church, when you are in the moment where you need help, lift up your eyes to the Lord from whom help comes. Don't let the heaviness of the situation weigh you down. Don't let the mountain frighten you. Don't be intimidated by the climb of this very high mountain, because God is higher than the mountain. And I like you to look forward, not to the climb of the mountain, even though it can be a really strenuous one, but it's to look forward to the cooling down. Look forward to the celebration when the climb is finished. See the glory of the Lord in all of whatever you are experiencing, through it all, upon it all, because the Father is intimately involved with you in all things. The Father watches over you in every detail of your life, and He will reward you for your faith as you seek Him diligently. He will not leave you or abandon you. He will always come for you. He will always come for you because God sticks with you through thick and thin. When there is suffering, there is glory. When there is testing, there is testimony. This is God's principle of victorious living. And if you get it, wow, you live a great life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because the solution to the darkness of the soul was provided by Jesus. He was the Passover lamb who was sacrificed to fulfill the Old Testament. The Passover lamb was slaughtered in the Old Testament because the Israelites were undergoing the plagues of Egypt. And so if they applied the blood of the lamb onto the doorpost of their house, the angel of death would come by and pass the whole household by, and the whole household will be protected. Jesus, the Passover lamb, was crucified on the cross so that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ provided a way of escape for you and to give you life both abundantly and eternally. And when you believe in Jesus and His finished work, you then appropriate the power of God in your life. You will be protected. You are secure. Do you go through bad times? Yes. Is it painful to go through bad times? Yes, but you are protected because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been smeared not on your doorpost, but on your heart, in your life. The blood of Jesus saves you, protect you. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the anointed one. And His anointing, like what Pastor Ian Weaver says, is like oil. It's like oil in the wick that enables the flame to keep going. You say, oh, but I can't anymore. It's too dark. The anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ is like oil in your wick that will enable you to keep going. Because without the anointing, yes, burnout will happen. Because there's nothing to burn. The whole thing will burn out and then, you know, that's it. But with the anointing, especially in the dark night of your soul, the flame will keep burning, burning, burning. You will not lose your joy. You will not become dull. Just go to the Lord Jesus Christ, be recharged and be refueled. And the flame that is in you will keep burning through the darkest night in your life. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we walk through the darkest night of your soul? Is to walk like Jesus walked. You're not alone. Christ has endured the dark night of the soul and walks with you. Ask for support, even though it's not typical of you. Ask for support. Be grateful for the stars in your life. Be grateful for the precious people that shine brightly for you in your life. Recognize that relationships can go sour. Build relationships anyway. Where there is suffering, there's going to be glory. Wait for it. The blood of the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, protects you from all harm. Trust Him as your protector. Amen. Let us pray. The Lord is here. And the Lord wants to tell you that He is with you, intimately with you. He is involved with every detail of your life. You may not see it. You may not feel it. It's not about feeling. The Lord is here. And the Lord wants to tell you that he has endured the dark night of the soul. And if you are going through a rough patch, you are not alone because Christ walks with you. He wants to give you the support that you need. He wants to give you the people that you need. You don't understand this right now because there's suffering. But wait for it. There is glory. This is the way God designs for things that happen that are negative, but that will yield a positive outcome because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God is multicolored, like the rainbow. You say, oh, my life is so dull. My life is so dark. Yes. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes in his presence. And he wants to grant you that grace to see his multicolored grace in many forms. Lord Jesus, I pray that your church, oh God, will be opened in her eyes to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, you have suffered for us because you know we need it. We need your grace, and you have prepared glory for us to receive. I pray for your people, whatever situations we are going through. And maybe you can raise your hands to the Lord if you are in that situation where you say, please pray for me, I'm in a dark place. Thank you. Oh yes, Lord. See your children, Lord. Their hands raised to you, dear Lord, to acknowledge that you are God. You are the light of their soul. You are their father who is interested in them. And I pray for my brothers and my sister that whatever situation they are in, that Lord, you will create situations to open up their soul to see you, oh God. For you are the light. For you are the one who is going to save them. So Father, I pray for testimonies to come out of testing. I pray for light to come out of darkness. I pray for victory to come out from this present state. I pray eyes be lifted up. Hallelujah. The eyes of the church be lifted up, oh God. Our brothers and our sisters be lifted up, oh God, to behold the Passover lamb whose blood was sacrificed just to get you out of the situation right now. The blood of Jesus protects you. Protects you. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that revelation comes. Strength comes. Angels of God come and strengthen resilience so that as a body, dear God, we may be broken, but we are united with you. We may be broken, but we are not in distress. Because God, you are about to command a blessing out of the situation we are facing. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. And I pray you bless the other brothers and sisters who did not have their hands raised. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you will walk with them intimately. Let them know, dear God, that they are in your will. And Lord, as they are obedient to you, that you will show them great and mighty things. Great and mighty things, dear Lord. We thank you for the church, that we have hope in you because you are the hope giver. We give you thanks and praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.